I need to think about the shirts I wear when I do this, how it's going to hook on. You need hair and makeup people and all that good stuff. Okay, I wish my picture would have shown up a little bit better. Can you guys see that, the torches? Okay, so as I was preparing for this lesson, you know, passing the torch, and I was thinking about that title, that's the image that kept popping into my mind, the image of the Olympic torch. That's pretty much the only torch I've ever seen, I guess, unless you watch Survivor, right? They have torches, too. But I kept thinking of the Olympic torch, and I don't know how many of you guys love watching the Olympics. Any? Oh, good, good. I've got Heather. If she was here, she's always like, Chris, that's so boring. But I love watching the Olympics, and I think I like the Winter Games maybe a little better than the summer. I don't know. They're both really good, but just seeing all the different countries of the world come together and participate in these events, it's really something amazing to see. The athletes are the best of the best and have spent their entire lives preparing to participate in the games. But before the games ever begin, there's this huge undertaking of the Olympic torch relay. A flame is lit at the birthplace of the Olympics, and that's located in Olympia, Greece. This happens several months before the opening ceremony of the games. Many people, and they call them torchbearers, they have the honor of carrying the torch for a short distance. Once they have traveled their assigned portion of the race, they then pass the flame from their torch and light the torch of the next torchbearer. Over the years, the flame has traveled just by about any way you can imagine. It's been on boat and airplanes and horses and camels. I mean, you name it. One year, they even carried it underwater near the Great Barrier Reef. I'm not sure how they pulled that off, but they did. And the torch relay, it ends on the day of the opening ceremony, which is one of my favorite parts of the Olympics. You guys like watching that? The opening ceremony is always pretty neat. And that happens in the central stadium of whoever happens to be hosting the games that year. And you guys know when the next Olympics is? Anybody? Yeah, 2012. London, there you go. Woohoo! We have one more year. And often the final carrier of the torch is kept a secret right until the last moment, and it's usually some kind of sports celebrity from the host country. So the last torchbearer, they run towards the cauldron, and then they use their torch to start the flame in the stadium. It is considered a great honor to be asked to light the Olympic flame. After being lit, the flame will burn the entire duration of the Olympics and is extinguished on the day of the closing ceremony. And in our story here tonight, we see that David, he's kind of a torchbearer. He was taking the steps necessary to pass on the flame, so to speak, to his son Solomon. He realizes that his torch-bearing days are coming to an end, and he must make the preparations to prepare his son to take the reins. David was mindful of the enormous task at hand and wanted to be sure that he would leave Solomon all the help he needed to get the job done. And just like David, we also need to be actively working to prepare the next generation for the special assignment God has for them. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. How we can pass the torch from this generation to the next and hand down a godly legacy to those we leave behind. So why is it important to pass on the torch? Well, simply put, because we are commanded in Scripture. It's our job as Christians. Time after time, the Lord commanded the people to teach the next generation what they learned. In Deuteronomy 4:9, it says, "Only be careful and watch yourselves closely, so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them." And then in Psalm 71:18 it says, "Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come." Okay, so who are these people that we are to pass our legacy on to? We're going to look at our text in verse 5 in Chronicles there. And David says that my son Solomon is young and inexperienced, and the house to be built for the Lord should be of great magnificence and fame and splendor in the sight of all the nations. So the people we should be preparing are those that are young and inexperienced. Okay? And obviously, first and foremost, those would be our natural children, those in our immediate family. The children God has blessed us with as mothers, they are the ones God has entrusted to our care for training and teaching. In Proverbs 31:26-27, it says, "She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. And then here's a familiar verse that we know that speaks about the training of our children. I think this was in our homework, too. Deuteronomy 11, 18 through 19 says, "Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." And I don't know about you, but I don't always think of my immediate family as my main ministry. I often think that I have to do all this big stuff for God outside of my home. But he's been gently reminding me lately of the great responsibility I have in my home with the children he's given me. And at times, I must admit, I just get lazy, you know, and I think that they're going to get their training at church, which is true. But the reality is that it's my responsibility, and it's Keith's responsibility to train our children. It's not the Sunday school teacher or the children's church teacher. It's my job, and it's my husband's job. We are the ones with the most influence in our children's lives right now. And I'm not talking about some big formal training, you know, just taking the everyday stuff to talk to them and train them in the knowledge of the Lord and his word. Times like when you're driving home from softball practice. We've had some good conversations lately then. Or getting your kids on the bus in the morning. Look for those opportunities to talk to your kids about spiritual matters. There are opportunities that arise every day where we can train and prepare them. Remember that they are young and inexperienced, and they need all the help we can give them, even though many times they protest, don't they, when we try to give them that spiritual training. But make the most of your time with them. Be willing to train and encourage them for the life God has called them to. Okay, so not only is it vital that we pass on our godly legacy to our natural children, but we can help others who are young and inexperienced. We can adopt spiritual children. This is what Paul did with Timothy. He was training him in the faith as if he was his own son. In 2 Timothy 2:1, Paul said to Timothy, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." He invested time and energy in Timothy's life to help equip him to live for Christ. And just like Paul, we can be an example to those who are younger in the faith. And I love these verses in Titus 2:3-4. It says, "Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God." Think about those younger women in your lives that you could perhaps mentor or help in some way. You have been blessed with knowledge and insight from the Lord that perhaps you could share with a younger sister. And as you do this, you are passing on some of the wisdom God has taught you. And then maybe one day she'll do the same. I was trained and taught as a new believer, and now I have had the privilege of helping to train others. So let me ask you, are there younger women in your life that you could minister to and help in some way? In what ways can you help to train them? It doesn't have to be anything major or complicated. It could just be a phone call or a written note or just going out to lunch with a younger sister. God has taught many of you such valuable lessons that the younger women need to hear. So if you don't have your own children or maybe your children are grown up, think about those spiritual children God may be calling you to reach out to. When you do, you will be passing on your legacy to another believer. And you just never know how much that small act may impact a life, maybe even for generations to come. So take the time to train those who are young and inexperienced. And here's the amazing part. As you do, you are helping to build the body of Christ in a way that will make God's splendor known. So let's look at verse 5 again. David said, "My son Solomon is young and inexperienced, and the house to be built for the Lord should be of great magnificence and fame and splendor in the sight of all the nations." Did you get that? The temple was going to display the Lord's magnificence and fame and splendor, the temple that Solomon was called to build. And now on this side of the cross, we are that temple. We have the amazing privilege of helping to build up others so the indwelling Christ will be made known to those around us. And that's our next point. The fame and splendor of the Lord is made known when older and experienced believers train the young and inexperienced. Okay, the fame and splendor of the Lord is made known when older and experienced believers train the young and inexperienced. As Christians, we make God known through the indwelling spirit of Christ living in us, in our temples. let's make it a priority to help those that are building alongside of us. We don't, it's not like we have all the answers or anything, you know, we're still in the learning process as well. But those of us sitting here can give some on-the-job training to some newer believers. What an unbelievable work God can accomplish when we are actively passing on our torch in this way. Okay, so now we know why and who we should pass our legacy on to. Exactly what is it that we should be trying to hand on to the next generation? What is it that we're going to pass down to the younger generation that will help them to live the life God has called for them? Well, there's a lot of things, but we're going to talk about five tonight. And the first one we're going to talk about would be your financial treasures. Okay? In our text, we see that David left all the materials necessary for Solomon to begin the building of the temple. He left him with the material wealth he needed so he could complete his assignment. And it's biblical for us to leave an inheritance for our children and our grandchildren. Proverbs 13:22 says, "A good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children, but a sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous." Now, I know in today's economy, this is kind of tough, seems hard to do that. And I was thinking, I'm just going to tell my kids, sorry, I spent your inheritance on gas and food. You know, don't have one. But, you know, we know finances are tough right now, but if you have been blessed in this way, think about how you can pass it on to benefit your children or your grandchildren one day. And I have a story about that. About 15 years ago, my father-in-law passed away, and he left a piece of property to his children. And it was divided and sold. And I tell you, it has helped us tremendously in our lives. And it's allowed me to stay home with my girls while they were younger and just really freed me up. This financial gift has helped me to fulfill my ministry as a mom and even freed me up so I can serve in this capacity. And this leads to our next point, and that's a financial inheritance left for your children can help them to fulfill their area of ministry. Because I can tell you, if it weren't for that financial gift, and if I would have had to work a full-time job during the day and then come home and take care of my kids at night, I'm sure I wouldn't have had the time or the energy to invest in this, in the ministries that God has called me to do. So God used that gift that my father-in-law left not only as a blessing to my family, but to my church family as well. So let me ask you, have you thought about the possibility of leaving a financial inheritance for your family? Even a small amount can help to build their families and make a difference in their lives. What about the financial choices you make today? Can you change some of those that will help bless others after you're gone? A financial treasure passed down can make a significant impact for the work God has called them to do. Okay, so the next thing would be our faith testimony. Okay, this is one of the most important things we share with others, our faith in the Lord and how we personally came to know Him. We should be sharing with our children and others why we believe, and what God has done for us. Our grace story is one of the most effective tools we have in passing on our faith to others. And that's our next point. Our grace story is one of the most effective tools we have in passing on our faith to others. In Psalm 66:16, it says, "Come and listen, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what He has done for me." Let's tell people about what the Lord has done for us. Let's proclaim His awesome and mighty works on our behalf. Tell people how God transformed you and saved you. Tell them how He picked you up out of the pit and gave you peace and joy and purpose. Tell them about the times God has spoken to you and the many prayers that He's answered on your behalf. Tell them about the mighty way He's provided for your needs. Our faith testimony is amazing and powerful no matter how you came to know the Lord. Whether you were brought up in a Christian home, or even if you had a horrible upbringing, your testimony is powerful. Just think about it for a minute. You were once lost and dying, but now you're found and alive. You were once sick and empty, now you're healed and filled. You were once separated from God and His enemy. Now His Spirit lives in you and you've become His precious child. You have a story to tell about what God has done for you, your faith testimony. Think about the grace stories you want to pass on to the next generation. They are stories that God can use to change lives. Okay, so the third thing we can pass down are family tales. You know those funny stories that you have in your family that you've heard 100 times? Those crazy tales of things your parents did, or some funny story about your Uncle Joe? Yes, those kind of stories. They are what make your family unique and crazy and fun. So I have a good one I'm going to share about my family. When I was a little girl, me and my sisters, I have 5 sisters, but at this time I think maybe there, so that makes 6 of us, I think there were 5 at the time. And we were visiting my papa, my grandfather, and Jessie was his wife, my step-grandmother, who my Jessie is named after, by the way. And we were living in Pennsylvania at the time, and they were in Essex, Maryland. So anyway, it had been a long day, and we were ready to go home, so my mom packed us all up in the car, and my dad was at the pool hall playing pool with my pop-up. So anyway, my mom, she goes there, and she's waiting, and she's honking the horn for him to come on. And he would come out, and he would say, just one more minute, you know, just one more minute. And then he'd go back in, and, you know, she put up with this for a while. And he kept coming back out and holding up his finger, just another minute. Well, we were getting all pretty cranky and whiny at this time, so she honked the horn one more time, and instead of my dad coming out, this drunk guy, like, staggers out, and he starts yelling at her and cussing at her, telling her to be quiet, and, well, that was it. She had just had it, so she said she threw that car in reverse and peeled wheels out of there. And my dad, she said she could see my dad running out. Too late. It was gone. The opportunity had passed. And she drove all the way home to Pennsylvania and left my dad there. Yes, she did. Yes, she did. She left him stranded. And this is the funniest part of the whole story, I think. The next day, he comes home, walking down the driveway, and he's just shaking his head. And he says, cute, Pat. Real cute. I guess, you know, he got what he deserved, you know. So, I mean, that's not anything spiritual or some great learning tool. I guess not leave your wife in the car with screaming kids, you know. But it's just a fun story, you know. So think about those things you would want to pass on to your family, things that make you laugh. Okay. You know, they're the kind of things that bind us together as a family. One day, your children will have their own tales to tell about some of the things you did as a parent. That's kind of scary. Okay, so the next thing we can pass on are fundamental truths and traits. Okay, these would be the truths that you live by and the character traits that are important for your family. And in a day when truth is in question and integrity of character is hard to find, this should be at the top of our list. And we know that the most reliable source we have for truth is God's Word. Psalm 33:4 says, "For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does." We should be diligent in training our kids to love God's Word and to use it as their moral compass. We should continually point them to the Word for encouragement and wisdom and insight into the issues that they face. Knowing God's Word will help equip them as they grow, because at some point they will be challenged about their beliefs. Their knowledge and love for the Word will help sustain them during those times of testing. Okay, so what about character traits? Think about those ones that you hold in high esteem. You know, they're different for us. Maybe for you, honesty is really central to your moral beliefs. It could be a strong work ethic that you want to impart to your kids. Or maybe it's kindness and compassion for others is something that's extremely important to you. Think about those traits that would help your children to live an exceptional life for Christ. Focus on the things God has impressed on your heart for your family. And that leads to our last thing you can pass down, and that would be our failures and temptations. That's right, our failures and temptations. Our study here of David is a perfect example of this. David had times of great triumph in his life, but he also experienced times of great failure. Remember when he failed to trust God and acted like a madman way back in 1 Samuel 21? Or how about his affair with Bathsheba and the murder of Uriah? And then just last week we learned how he had taken offenses because of his pride. This failure led to the death of 70,000 men. David knew a few things about failure. He knew a lot about temptation and what happens when you give in to it. And the lessons he learned were invaluable. And this leads to our next point. and that is, our greatest failures are often better teachers than our greatest triumphs. Our greatest failures are often better teachers than our greatest triumphs. And just like David, we have all experienced times of failure in giving in to temptation. We have fallen into pits that we wish we didn't. But now we have the chance to tell others about the mistakes we've made. We can use our failures to help them. We can pass on the valuable lessons we've learned as a result. I know that I've learned greatly from the mistakes David made in our study here, and I've learned even more from the ones I've made. Use those lessons to help your children from falling into the same sins. Now, you might need to wait until they're old enough and mature enough to understand. You know, it's important how to prayerfully consider, you know, when and how you share with them, because it's not like they don't need to know specific details, just more about the consequences and the severity of the price you paid for those failures. Those things will be the closest to your heart that you want to impart to them. I know for me, one of the most important mistakes I don't want my girls to make is for them to fall into sexual immorality. That's like at the top of my list. I want them to receive the gift God has for them in the way He intended. Also, what's important to me and Keith is that we don't ever want them to try drugs or alcohol. With addictions coming from both sides of my family, from me and from Keith, they are more susceptible to succumbing to addiction as well. And I pray that they would never have to find this out for themselves, if this is a problem for them too. I want to pass on to them the things God has taught me and hopefully keep them from falling into the same pits I did as a young woman. Your failures and temptations. Think about what those are for you. How can you use them to help train the young and inexperienced? What hard lessons have you learned that you wish someone had taught you? How can you point them away from those areas that tripped you up? By sharing your failures and temptations with them. They are some of the greatest teaching tools that we have. Okay, so now we know what we should pass down, but exactly how can we do this? How can we pass down a legacy that will have a lasting impact on our families and friends? Well, first of all, we must do it on purpose. Purposefully. It won't happen by accident. And that leads to our next point. Passing on a godly legacy won't happen by accident. We must do it purposefully. In our text, David didn't just hope his son would be able to accomplish the task God had called him to do. No, he purposefully set up the necessary things needed. He took great care in making provisions for everything his son would need to do the job. And we must do the same. If we want to pass down a godly legacy for our children to be equipped to serve the Lord, we must do it with purpose. And I looked up the definition of purpose, and this is what I found. It means something set up as an object or end to be attained, a subject under discussion, or an action in course of execution, on purpose, by intent, intentionally. Okay, so on purpose, with intent, an end to be attained. We can't just sit back and hope these things happen. We must do it intentionally. We must make a plan on how we can pass the torch to others. And to intentionally pass our torch on to the next generation, we must make preparations. We see that David, he made many preparations in advance for Solomon, right? He assembled a team of people, men that were skilled in different areas, stone cutting and such. He supplied all the materials that he would need. He did everything possible to help his son be successful in the task of building the temple. And we need to be busy making the necessary preparations to assist our children. So how can we prepare to pass on these things to our children? What sorts of preparations do we need to make? Well, I want you to look with me at the book of Joshua, and we're going to read about an account of how the Israelites prepared a memorial to pass on the story of a miracle God performed for their generation. Okay, this is in Joshua chapter 4. And at this point of the story, the people, they're finally about to enter the Promised Land after many years of wandering in the desert. They had just finished crossing the Jordan River because God had caused the river to pile up in a heap so that they and the Ark of the Covenant could cross over on dry land. So we'll start in verse 1. Okay. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priest stood, and to carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. And I have a picture here of what it may have looked like. It's not like the actual stones, but... Okay, pretty cool, huh? I love this story. I love that they set up a physical memorial to what they had just witnessed. They had seen a miracle and were now commanded to set up these huge stones so that future generations would know about the awesome thing God had done for them. Just think about the many children that were not there that day or too young to remember what had happened. I can just imagine them seeing this huge pile of rocks and saying, Dad, what's up with those rocks? And then the dad would have the pleasure of telling them, well, son, that's when God performed a miracle for us. He caused the Jordan River to pile up in a heap so that we could cross over and enter the promised land on dry ground. And can you just hear the kids saying, whoa, no way, Dad. The dad's like, yes, way. That is what happened. I just love this. I mean, I wish I could set up a few memorials of my own so when my grandkids pass by one day, they could say, hey, you know, what's this here for? I was thinking, I just use Shelby as an example. She could say, well, this is when God saved your grandma and your grandpa's marriage. You know, this is where he came down and worked many miracles to heal them and keep them together. They were sinful and rebellious, but God stooped down and lifted them out of their pit when they cried to him. God performed a miracle on their behalf, and that's why you're here today, you know? Now, I can't just go around setting up piles of rocks in places where God has worked in my life. I was thinking if I'd have done that in Bay City, my house probably wouldn't have sold. Well, what's up with those rocks? But I want to pass those on. You know, I want to pass on those miracles and truths that God has done in my life. You know, I want my family to know that they're here and alive because of God's grace. I want them to know about the great and awesome God we serve and how he rescued the O'Donnell family by his mighty hand. So since we can't go around setting up piles of rocks, what can we do to pass on our stories to the next generation? Just like the Olympic torchbearers, they use various methods to pass the flame. You know, we can use different ways to pass on ours as well. So number one, we can verbally tell it, right? We can talk about our faith testimony with our family. We need to make it a point to tell our children about the miracles God has done in our life. You could even make a CD or a tape of your faith testimony. I actually still have a cassette of when Keith and I gave ours. Do you still have one, Kathy? And I plan on giving those to my kids at some point. Or maybe you're feeling really creative. You know, you can make a video or a DVD or something. You know, we have access to all that stuff today. Okay, so next, what about you could write it down? Maybe for some of you that comes more natural. You're good at writing. You could make a journal or a book about the things you would want your family to know. You could share the insights you've learned as you've walked with God. You could share the times of trials you thought you wouldn't survive, but miraculously God saw you through. This could be a great way to share your story with not only your children, but for generations to come. Okay, and lastly, if your kids are still at home, you could just set aside some family time each week if possible. Okay, now I must admit I've never been big on family devotions or formal teaching in my family. It just doesn't fit my laid-back style of living. But lately God's been showing me that I need to make time to do this and set aside time with my family each week so we can share some fun and faith at the same time. Okay, so we've done this for the past couple weeks. And let me tell you, it did not go very well. You would not have wanted to see it. It was not a pretty picture. One of my children, I won't mention any names to protect the innocent. You can just imagine. She pitched a fit about it from beginning to end. She cried and complained. She whined and moaned. She told me, why do we have to do this? We're together all the time, and I don't even like you anyway, she said. She did. She just threw a fit the whole time. But we persevered, and we got through our first family fun night. Wasn't a lot of fun. Okay. So we try to make it fun by letting them pick a game. Okay, we're going to let them take turns, and you get to pick a game this time. And, you know, she didn't like the game. And so, but then she gets to pick one the next time, which she did this past week. Much better. We played football in the yard. She enjoyed that. So they can pick something within reason that they want to do. And then we're going to take just like one or two Bible verses and read them, talk about them, and then pray together as a family. And, you know, they can say something if they want to or if they don't have to. So far, Lindsay's the only one participating. One out of three isn't bad, I guess. So I'm not sure how all this is going to pan out. But I'm going to persevere. I pray that somehow it will help my children grow closer to each other. You know, that sense of family that sometimes is missing. And just more importantly, that they'll grow closer to God. And it's not going to be easy, you know, and I have to make a commitment to stick with it. But I pray that one day they'll look back fondly on Family Fun Night. They'll have gained some wisdom. Maybe I need to rename it. I don't know. Any suggestions, let me know afterwards. I hope that they will have a deeper love for God's Word and each other. I pray that it will bind us together more closely as a family. So make preparations to pass on the torch to the next generation. Okay, so as we're making those preparations, it's important that we don't forget to pray for the ones that will come after us. Okay, so that's our next one, prayerfully. Okay, in 1 Chronicles 29, and Danielle's covering this next week, David prayed for the people, and he also prayed specifically for Solomon. In verse 19, he prays, "And give my son Solomon the wholehearted devotion to keep your commands, requirements, and decrees, and to do everything to build the palatial structure for which I have provided." So David asked God to give his son wholehearted devotion to follow him and obey his commands. And this should be our prayer for our children, that God would give them an undivided heart so they can serve him in the years to come. So pray for your children and the future generations that will follow. And lastly, we need to persevere. What I just talked about, we need to persevere in passing our torch. In 1 Timothy 4:16, Paul told Timothy, "Watch your life and your doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers." It's a long and hard relay at times, and we must stay strong and persevere. You know, I don't know if you guys know this, but there are times when the Olympic torchbearers, they're actually protested, you know, depending on where the games are going to be, and people will show up and try to put out the flame. And boy, is that ever true as to what we're trying to do, right, in our generation for the Lord. There are people that are standing in complete opposition of our Lord's cause and want nothing more than for our torches to die out. But we must persevere and stay committed to the call God has given us. And I wanted to share with you another interesting fact I found out about the lighting of the Olympic torch. Earlier I told you that months before, the flame is lit in Olympia, Greece, which is the birthplace of the Olympics. And the flame is ignited by something called a parabolic mirror. I have a picture of it right there. There I am. So lovely. Okay, I don't know if you guys know this. This was pretty cool. I did not know what a parabolic mirror was, but it stays lit by collecting ambient sunlight and focuses it to an intensity sufficient to ignite the torch material. So it is lit by harnessing the power of the sun. And guess what? That's the way we keep our torch lit too. We need to allow the power of the sun, Jesus, to ignite our flame so it will burn not only in our time, but for years to come. He is the ambient light we need to fuel ourselves with. And this word ambient, I looked it up. I didn't really know what it meant, but when I found out, I almost fell off my chair. It means existing or present on all sides. And ladies, our Jesus is existing and present on all sides. He's been existing and present from before the beginning of time, and he will be in existence and present forever and ever. He is the source to fuel our torches so they can endure for the generations to come. And that leads to our last point. Passing on our torch isn't about us, it's about him. The efforts we put forth to pass on all that God has taught us is not to bring glory for us or to make our names famous. No, it's to prepare those around us to take their torch into their generation, to proclaim God's love to those living in darkness, We are the light God uses to make himself known to the world around us. We have been called to make his majesty and fame and splendor known to the nations. The passing of our torch is for the glory of our Lord and the advancement of his kingdom. And just like the Olympic torchbearers, we should be highly honored to carry our torch for the portion of the race God has assigned for us. Our time is now, and the torch is in our hands. So I want to encourage you tonight, purpose to pass on your torch. Please find those that are young and inexperienced and how you could help them and train them. Be ready and willing to share your grace story with them. Make the preparations necessary to set them up for success. Pray that God would give them a passion to serve him and follow him faithfully. Don't give up. Persevere and ignite yourself in the sun. He is the light of our world. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just thank you so much for this study and just for all the things that you've taught me, Lord. I thank you for each lady here tonight and the families that they represent. I pray, God, that they would be encouraged by this message to pass on those things that you have taught them, Lord. We don't need to be perfect in doing it, but just purpose, Lord, that we will pass on our faith, those things that you've taught us, so that our kids and grandkids, Lord, will teach their children. Just thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your faithfulness to us, that you are the source that keeps it going, Lord. You are the light of the world. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. We love you. In your name, amen. Yeah.